You may have seen our next guest, Irish actor Brendan Gleeson, in a half dozen films and not known his name. He played Mad-Eye Moody in 3 Harry Potter films. He starred with Colin Farrell in the film In Bruges and also appeared in Gangs of New York, Cold Mountain, 28 Days Later, and Braveheart. And he won an Emmy Award for his portrayal of Winston Churchill in the HBO movie Into the Storm. Gleeson stars with Don Cheadle in the new film The Guard. It's a dark comedy set in rural Ireland. Gleeson plays a seasoned but eccentric policeman who has to work with an American FBI agent, played by Cheadle, on an international drug smuggling case. Gleeson spoke with Fresh Air contributor Dave Davies. Let's start with a scene from The Guard. Gleeson and Cheadle's characters are having tea, talking about how to proceed with the case.
So what do you have planned for your day?
Well, we obviously don't know who killed McCormick or why. And there was no real useful forensic evidence at the crime scene, so I thought we might start by canvassing the neighborhood around where the body was discovered, see if anybody might have heard something. And we also have to consider the fact that McCormick was probably reconnoitering drop-off points all along the coast. Sergeant.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, you lost me at we.
We. You and I.
It's my day off. Did I not tell you?
It's your day off.
I've had it booked for a good while. You can ask Stanton.
Let me get this straight. We're investigating the murder and the trafficking of over $500 million.
Billion.
$500 million worth of cocaine, and you telling me it's your day off.
I'm sure 24 hours won't make any difference.
24 hours won't make any difference.
There are always saying it doesn't, these cop shows and telly, but it doesn't, not in my experience. Anyway, why do you keep repeating everything I say?
Well, Brendan Gleeson, welcome to Fresh Air.
Thanks, Dave.
That's, of course, you and Don Cheadle in your new film, The Guard. You know, I read in the production notes to this film, you were quoted as saying, after you read the part, anybody who didn't take that part should lock himself into a small room and shoot himself. describe this character, Jerry Boyle.
Well, I mean, he's a lot of things, but essentially he's a policeman who reads a lot. Watches a lot of movies, drinks too much, and basically is going slowly out of his mind because of lack of things to engage his intellect with. He has a number of people in his life, but not many. His mother being one of them, who is not well, and very few other people, really. So he has become cynical and a little bored, and he likes to ruffle people's feathers. So he's a kind of a lonely cynic waiting for something to happen.
Anybody you drew on for this role?
Not specifically. I mean, I would have met men like this quite a lot. People who are underused a little bit and who have terribly sharp wit and pretend to be very, very stupid. It seems to be quite a common thing, particularly in the countryside in Ireland, that I don't know whether it comes from going to market or whatever, but countrymen quite a lot of the time pretend to be incredibly stupid so that you will underestimate them and not really understand who you're dealing with. And I think this guy is very reminiscent of that.
Right. Now, this takes place in a little town in Western Ireland called Connemara, which is a real place, right?
Well, Connemara is it's a district, really. It's west of Galway City, and it kind of encompasses quite a large area, really, for Ireland. Much of it is Gaelic-speaking. And it has a particular kind of a magical sort of appeal for people in Ireland. It is rural, and it changes, it reinvents itself all the time, but it's held on to the language, which is unusual in Ireland. There are only maybe 3, maybe 4 places in Ireland where Gaelic is spoken as a living language, and Connemara is one of them. And so it kind of represents a place that not everybody can break into anyway, in terms of understanding exactly what's going on. And so Jerry Boyle would be very much a product of that, in the sense that it's very difficult to know exactly what's going on in Jerry's head at any point anyway.
Right. And he has great fun when the FBI agent, Everett, goes around and tries to interview people. And even when they understand his English, they will not speak to him in English.
Right? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, because they understand that he's an FBI man, and therefore he's associated with authority and the law, and they prefer to keep things going the way they like to keep things going. They just, there's a history there, maybe of not colluding with the law too often. So Jerry and Wendell kind of agree that it's sort of Compton-esque in that regard, in the attitude to authority.
If you're just joining us, our guest is actor Brendan Gleeson. He stars in the new film, The Guard. You started acting later than a lot of people. You taught school for 10 years, and then at age 34, I gather, when it went into acting full-time. And one of your early roles, I believe, was with the TV drama The Treaty, where you auditioned for the role of Michael Collins, the Irish national leader. And I read that you won the role more with a tantrum than with a reading. Is this true?
It is true, because I'll tell you why, and it still annoys me. I had read Tim Pat Coogan's Michael Collins. He did a wonderful work on Michael Collins. He's such a fascinating character. The next thing was they were making this TV film of The Treaty. But I was asked to go into audition, but they would not tell me who I was going to audition for. Auditions can be really nasty in that way. Sometimes they give you lines, sometimes they don't. Sometimes they tell you the character, sometimes they don't. And I find it really insulting. I went in a fit of pique anyway, and I said, if they're going to tell me now that I have to audition for Michael Collins without giving me any script or anything, it's just not fair. And I went in and I attacked the director as soon as I heard it was going to be for Michael Collins. And I said, if I'd known about this, I could have prepared properly. And I started giving it out to him I really did lose my temper, actually. And he said, that's very like Collins. And he told me afterwards, we might have to pin your ears back and all this kind of stuff. But actually, I kind of did feel like that. I kind of felt they should treat people with more respect. But in the end, it worked to my advantage because I got the job.
You got a role in Braveheart as one of the friends of the Mel Gibson character, William Wallace. Was that like a breakthrough for you?
I was doing a play when Mel Gibson came over and was talking about doing Braveheart, and he came to see the play and had a chat with me afterwards, and I met him and we had a good chat. I really enjoyed his take on the whole thing. We talked a lot about history being written by the winners and all that kind of thing, and it was a fascinating project one way or the other. And then he came, I was performing, and he came in that night, and I think the following night or whatever, I was going ready to go on stage, and I got a call. And it was Mel, and he said, "So, do you want to do this?" I said, okay. And it was a fantastic moment. But yeah, I owe a lot to that production. It was the most phenomenal thing. It went on for about 6 weeks, I think, in Scotland, and then 4.5 months at home in Ireland. And just to be working at that level with the amount of extras and the whole production was just such a massive undertaking. It made a huge difference to me.
You were in the film In Bruges with Colin Farrell in 2008, and I just loved this film, and it had a similar feel to your new movie, The Guard, and I had to wonder if they were by the same director. It turns out they are directed by brothers. John McDonough directs The Guard. Martin McDonough, his brother, directed In Bruges. I thought we would just listen to a clip. You want to just tell us the basic storyline of this film, what your character is?
Of In Bruges basically, there are two hitmen arrive in Bruges, a city in Belgium, which is an extraordinary city. It's a little medieval haven that was left behind when the canals changed, and it's kind of a very beautiful little city, but not an awful lot goes on in it. And these two guys are there running away from a job that has gone wrong. And Colin Farrell is the younger guy and I'm the older guy. And the younger guy, it was his first job. I kind of got him in on it. He kept pestering me and I brought him in. And it all went horribly wrong and we ended up in Bruges just laying low.
Right. And one of the things that went wrong was that Ray, who's played by Colin Farrell, had actually ended up killing a boy.
And yes.
And the clip I wanted to play was a moment where you've been touring some of the sites and have seen all of this medieval art, which with religious and moral themes, and you have a kind of a conversation about morality in your own lives. And the one linguistic thing I want to explain is there's a discussion of the term a lollipop man, which I gather is a school crossing guard, right?
That's exactly what it is.
So that'll make it a little easier to follow.
His stick looks like a lollipop, yeah.
Right, so this is Brendan Gleeson and Colin Farrell from the film In Bruges.
Yes, I have killed people. Not many people. Most of them are not very nice people. Apart from one person.
Who's that?
This fella, Danny Alaban's brother. He's just trying to protect his brother. Like you or I would. Just a lollipop man. He came at me with a bottle. What are you going to do? Shot him down.
In my book, though. Sorry. Someone comes at you with a bottle. That is a deadly weapon. He's got to take the consequences.
I know that in my heart. I also know that he's just trying to protect his brother, you know.
I know. But a bottle, they can kill you. It's a case of it's you or him. If he come at you with his bare hands, that'd be different. And that wouldn't have been fair.
Well, technically, your bare hands can kill somebody too. They can be deadly weapons too. I mean, what if you knew karate, say?
You said he was a lollipop man.
He was a lollipop man.
What's a lollipop man doing on karate?
I'm just saying.
How old was he?
About 50.
What's a 50-year-old lollipop man doing on karate? What was he, a Chinese lollipop man?
And that's Colin Farrell and our guest, Brendan Gleeson from In Bruges. A lot of this is about this city, Bruges, this medieval city. Do you know how the elders and citizens of Bruges reacted to it?
I do know how they reacted to it. First of all, before we'd even stopped shooting, they started putting up placards on streets saying this is where this was filmed. And they were really smart. We went in, we met the mayor, and I said, listen, mayor, I just want to thank, because the city is beautifully lit at night. You know, you walk through and it looks like a film set. And I just said, I'd like to thank you, Mr. Mayor, for lighting our set for us, you know. And of course, he laughed, and they had absolutely embraced the film, and even though there were some things that were said about Bruges that were not particularly complimentary in the film, they got the bigger picture and they embraced us when we went there. And then when we left, they began, you know, once the film came out, the tourism figures for Bruges went up by 33%.
Wow.
That's not a joke. That's a statistic. So they got it, and they had no problem laughing at themselves at any point. And people have just been flocking to see this place ever since.
You know, in 2009, you played Winston Churchill for the film Into the Storm. It was a BBC HBO production. And this is interesting because, you know, he is the very symbol of English power. And earlier in your career, you'd played the nationalist, Irish nationalist Michael Collins, who had opposed Churchill. Churchill, of course, was instrumental in the partition of Ireland. Did it give you any pause to play Churchill?
It did, certainly. Yeah, Thaddeus O'Sullivan, who directed the film, is another Irishman, which was kind of bizarre. And so we did a camera test. I mean, I was going to have to jump up a few years anyway. And it wasn't just a feeling of why would an Irishman play or a Southern Irishman play Winston Churchill. There were things about the casting that, I was, there's a whole cultural leap that I wasn't sure I could make in terms of the aristocracy. You know, he was of the aristocracy and it's not something I'm particularly familiar with. So I didn't want to, you know, be part of my own miscasting apart from anything else. So we did a camera test, basically, and we played out a number of the scenes, and it became so full, chock-block of dramatic possibilities, it became impossible to turn it down. We kind of felt, okay, we have to go for it.
Well, let's listen to one of those moments. This is a moment in the film where the English army is facing annihilation in France. This is before the evacuation of the army at Dunkirk, and you, as Churchill, are meeting with your advisors, and one of them says that, you know, we're in a terrible spot, and the Italians have reached out and suggested they might broker a deal with Hitler to deliver Britain from this disaster. And then you, as Churchill, respond. Let's listen.
Okay. Mussolini is prepared to act as an intermediary between us, the French, and Hitler.
Any hint of negotiation would destroy the morale of our people.
I think perhaps not in the present circumstances. The ambassador was most conciliatory, not at all extreme, very well-mannered. Of course, they would expect something in exchange.
Oh, of course.
Such as what?
Malta, perhaps. Gibraltar. Perhaps Uganda. Winston.
My dear Edward, if I thought we could get out of our present difficulties by giving up Malta, Gibraltar, a few of the African colonies, I'd jump at it. But Hitler cannot be trusted. No point in talking with the Aitais.
The French are very keen. We should give it a try.
Yeah, the hell with the French. If they're not prepared to fight, let them give up. I will not allow this country to be dragged down a slippery slope. What is the point of becoming a slave state?
Oh, Winston, for the love of God, will you face facts? We could lose 250,000 men at Dunkirk.
Nations that go down fighting rise up again. Those that surrender tamely are finished.
We cannot win this war without a devastating loss of life and resources. You'll destroy everything you most want to preserve.
And that's from the film Into the Storm. No mistaking Winston Churchill in that clip, played by our guest Brendan Gleeson. You know, it might be a little intimidating to take on such an iconic figure, and one that everyone has popular images and recollections of. Yeah. What was the trick to getting him?
I mean, there are two challenges. One is the iconic figure we all are familiar with, and the sound is so familiar, and you have to get that right. But there's a certain amount of mimicry that will get you half of the way there. What's more intimidating for me is the private voice. How does he speak with Clemmy, his wife? You know, he can't be speechifying the whole time. It would be very dull and not at all natural for him to do so. The initial temptation was to go down very low and do all this kind of thing. Whereas in actual fact, when we listened to the speeches, it was closer to my own pitch than I would have thought. We tried to get the voice into my own head so I could believe myself when I spoke, and that others could believe then that the character was who, you know, it purported to be. But that was the biggest one. I mean, after that, body language and all the rest of it is kind of a doddle. It's the whole notion of actually speaking with his voice and believing yourself while you do so.
The other thing that's a challenge here is you're a big guy. You're, 6'2"? Churchill was short and portly. How did you manage that physically?
Oh, it's a great excuse to put on weight. If you could put on weight, you foreshorten yourself. And so I could be nice and easy with everything that passed my lips for a while, until I had to kind of just knock it on the head and say, take it easy. In fact, it took me a couple of years too long to get rid of it. But there are various tricks that you can use to help you, and they actually cast Into the Storm very well in that regard. You know, people were, they cast quite tall actors around me, which made it very easy. And once or twice I did little kind of Groucho walks that would allow me to kind of stay below the general level. And, you know, there are little tricks you can use, but generally people forget. If you set up a few things early on, if you set up a few, tableaus, you can get away with murder afterwards. Once people buy it and believe it, the stature thing, it becomes less and less important as the thing moves through.
Brendan Gleeson, thanks so much. It's been fun.
Thanks, Dave. Thanks a lot.
Brendan Gleeson spoke with Fresh Air contributor Dave Davies. Gleeson stars in the new film, The Guard. You can download podcasts of our show on our website, freshair.npr.org. We'll close with tenor saxophonist Frank Foster's best-known composition, Shiny Stockings. Foster died yesterday at the age of 82. Here's the Count Basie Band's 1955 recording of Silk Stockings, featuring Foster, who also did the arrangement. Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. Our interviews and reviews are produced and edited by Amy Sallet, Phyllis Myers, Anne Baldonado, Sam Brigger, Lauren Krenzel, John Myers, John Sheehan, and Heidi Simon. I'm Terry Gross.